Okay, well today we're going to cover the third commandment. We're at number 3. Now, I guess some have kind of gotten a little frustrated that I've supposedly renumbered them, but I really haven't. I didn't mean to confuse everybody. I just really wanted to go over how they were originally numbered so that we could emphasize the first part of the law as the Jews did. Today they call that first commandment the prologue, but the Jews really still do see it as so important that they number it as the first commandment. But the point is, you know, really if we think about the Ten Commandments, there's really a whole lot more there than 10. It's just a way of remembering them. So we don't want to get hung up on the numbers, but anyway, we're back to numbering the rest of these the way that we think of them anyway. So number 3 is obviously comes from Exodus 20 and verse 7. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. We're told here not to take the name of the Lord in vain, and that doing so is a very serious matter, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that does so. So that's pretty heavy. We need to make sure that we understand what this means, right? And pretty much avoid it like the plague, because there's a pretty strong admonition there. So what does it mean to take the name of the Lord in vain? That's really the question that we have to answer if we're going to understand this command. And I'm pretty sure that it means a lot more than what some of us thought. As we go through the Bible and answer this question today, I think you're going to walk away with a greater understanding of this commandment. And if you're paying attention, you might be able to walk away with some additional insight on how to study your Bible. But just for grins, before we get started, let me see by a show of hands how many people, and rightly so, associate this command with how we speak about, refer to, or cuss with the name of God. Okay, that's pretty much everybody. Now, while that's true, that we are to use the name of God reverently, and we'll go into more of that later, studying the language and the intent of this command, along with topical references to it, it has revealed to me much more than just how we watch our mouth with respect to the name of God. It means that, for sure, but it also means a whole lot more. So let's get started. First off, it seems to me that the main word in this command is the word vain. All the rest of the verbiage is really pretty clear. If we can understand what that means, to take it in vain, we'll understand what Yahweh's referring to here. But as you know, he didn't write the word vain on that tablet. That's an English word. He wrote the word shav, S-H-A-V. Now, according to the lexicon of biblical usage, shav means emptiness, nothingness, vanity, falsehood, worthlessness. But you just start thinking about some of these words. This is what the word vain means. What the word shav means. And that's very interesting. And now, these words, this definition here, was really backed up as I did a search for every scripture that uses the word shav. because what I wanted to see is that word shav always translated into the word vain. And what I found was that it wasn't. It's a little less than half the time shav is translated vain, which means more than half the time it's not translated vain. It's translated something else. So if we can look at what else this word is translated as, it will start to give us some insight into the linguistic meaning, the broader meaning of this word vain, and will tell us what Yahweh is trying to convey. So I want you to, we're going to go through these here pretty quickly. I've got a number of scriptures. In Deuteronomy 5, it says, "You not, shall not bear false witness against your neighbor." So where it says false there, it's being translated from shav, the same word that's translated to vain in the command. Okay, shall not bear shav witness, false witness against your neighbor. "So I have been allotted months of futility, and wearisome nights have been appointed to me." There's futility. In Job it says, "For he knows deceitful men." All of these underlined words have been translated from the same Hebrew word, shav. In Job it says, "Surely God will not listen to empty talk." In Psalm 12, "They speak idly, idly. Everyone with his neighbor, flattering lips and a double heart, they speak." In Psalm 20, what is that, 26, "I have not sat with idolatrous mortals." See, your comprehension of this word starting to expand. Here it says, "I have hated those who regard useless idols." Useless. "And if he comes to see me, he speaks lies." Lies translated from that same word. "He gathers iniquity to himself when he goes out," he tells it. In Psalm 144, "whose mouth speaks lying words." Kind of the same as the other one. Psalm 119, "Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way." Psalm 127, a song of accents of Solomon, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain." "Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." In other words, it's not going to do any good, right? So the word shav is in the Bible 53 times. Now, obviously, I couldn't put up all 53 of them and go through those. But here's a list of all of the unique words that I could find out of that 53 occurrences. We've got vain, false, futile, deceitful, empty, idle, hypocrite, useless, worthless, vanity, labor in vain, and idolatrous. That's an interesting list. And the point is, we can apply these same meanings and understandings to the verbiage in the third commandment. For instance, you could say, "Don't take the name of the Lord falsely." "Don't take the name of the Lord for futile reasons." "Don't use it in an empty way." "Don't use the name of the Lord your God idly." "Don't be a hypocrite about it." "Don't use his name in vanity to puff yourself up." You see how we can expand our understanding of what he's trying to say just by seeing how the word is used everywhere else in the Bible. So we're seeing a much broader meaning of the word vain by seeing what other words shav is translated to and what context they're being used in. Our English word vain actually gets its meaning and root from the broader meaning of shav, as evidenced by the dictionary definition. Look how the similar definition of vain is to all the ways shav was used and translated in the Bible. There's five of these, and this was came out of the, I forget which Bible, it was one of the online Bibles or dictionaries. Number one, having no real value, lacking substance or worth, idle, worthless, futile, fruitless, and baseless. Interesting. Number two, to no end, marked by futility or ineffectualness, not yielding the desired outcome. In other words, it was unsuccessful or useless, or efforts were in vain, right? And the archaic, it would be foolish, silly, or senseless. Having or showing undue or excessive pride in one's appearance or achievements. Now that's the vain that we think about, just thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. And number five, in an irreverent, disrespectful, or blasphemous manner. And they even quoted the third commandment, right, in the dictionary definition. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. That is the classic, overarching, the thing that everybody put their hands up and said, yeah, that's what this commandment means. You're not supposed to use the name of God in a disrespectful way. So we see that this is a pretty good summation of the words and context that we saw when looking at all the uses of the word shav. So there's a lot here to think about, and as I said, it's a lot more than just getting God's name out of our cuss words, okay? So with this background, in the time we've got left, I've got 4 points that I want to list out some of the major ways that we take the name of the Lord in vain. So, but remember, as we go through this, when we say in vain, remember, we could also be saying foolish, senseless, prideful, you know, useless, those types of things. Or, as it says, in an irreverent or disrespectful manner. So since that's the most common, let's start with that one. To use the name of God in an irreverent or disrespectful manner is the most common application of this commandment in our society. We call it cussing. And I don't got to stand here and remind you that really the height of using, you know, God's name in an irreverent and disrespectful manner is to use it to cuss with. God is the highest being there is. When we speak of Him, it should be in reverence and with the utmost of respect, not in fits of anger or an expletive to try to emphasize a point or to try to cut somebody down verbally. Using the name of God in this way displays the epitome of disrespect and insult to God. We are called to be in a loving relationship with our Father. We're not to use His name or refer to Him as a cuss word. God's enemies do that. In Psalms it says they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. I don't want to be God's enemy. I want to be in a relationship with Him, and I want to treat His name with respect. And so when you think about it, you know, He's your God, right? So any reference that you make, because He's your God, any reference you make to God, you're making that reference to Yahweh. You are, instead of saying Yahweh, you're saying God. But because He's your God, you're referring to Yahweh. It's called a euphemism. A euphemism is an inoffensive word or phrase that's substituted for one considered offensive or hurtful, or the other way around. Okay? examples are you say you sleep with somebody instead of, you know, having sex with them, or you call them the departed instead of dead. And the other, what's the other one? You leave yourself instead of urinate. But it's the way of saying something by just using different words. And I suggest we use things like gosh in place of God. We use the word geez. Oh, geez. Just because we're too lazy to say the rest of it. And Jesus is what? A euphemism for Yeshua. Okay? So what I'm trying to say is we can substitute sounds, but we're still communicating the same thing, aren't we? And see, we can do that with gestures. You know, I can say F you with my tall finger and not say anything, but I'm still communicating the same thing. So when we say gosh, what are we communicating? Same thing. We say geez, we're communicating the same thing. And it's not good. Our Creator tells us that we are called to a higher standard than that. We are to put His name on a pedestal, and it should be spoken in reverence. Our purity will be reflected in our speech. There's a lot the Bible has to say about this, but we just don't have time. But I'll go through a few, you know, proverbs here. When words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise commends knowledge, but the mouth of the fool gushes folly. In cussing, when words are many, sin is not absent. Reckless cussing words pierce like a sword and gush foolishness. And it breaks the third commandment. Again, this application of the command is pretty well known, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it. But before I do depart from it, I want to address the act of using and referring to God's name to damn someone. Because when you're doing this, you're not representing God. Okay? You can't damn someone just by referring to God in the statement. Because He's not with you to do that. Okay? Actually, when you use God's name or refer to God when trying to damn someone, you know who you're damning? Yourself. Because the commandment says, I will not hold him guiltless who takes my name in vain. Okay? You're bringing judgment upon yourself, not them. Okay? So, I think about that old schoolyard chant, you know, I'm rubber and you're glue and everything that bounces off me and sticks to you, or however that goes. Because that's really what's happening. You know, you don't have any power. You can't invoke God's name to damn somebody. But you're using His name in vain, and you're bringing guilt upon yourself. Colossians chapter 3, verse 8 tells us, but now you yourselves are put off all of these. You are to put off all of these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, and filthy language out of your mouth. Look at the company of things that filthy language is in with. Is point made? Okay, so that's number one. Point number two is don't use God's name in a careless or frivolous manner. We do this all the time without even thinking about what we're doing. Okay, here's an extremely current example. Does this look familiar? Or we could even use a euphemism and say, oh my gosh. Same thing. Okay? This is referring to God in a careless or frivolous manner. Remember, the Bible translated shav into words like useless, worthless, empty, idly. He said, don't take my name that way. Don't use it uselessly, idly. Our culture just throws around references to God like they're nothing, and therefore they become meaningless, empty, and worthless phrases. You see? Not just this phrase, but you can think of more. You know, God only knows. Well, God only knows. Or, oh, God help him. God forbid. You know, God bless America. Something happens. Well, thank God. You know, and, you know, is it okay to thank God? Of course. But when it's a frivolous being used in just carelessly just thrown out there with no meaning or substance, it's not using the name in the highest of esteem. You see, it's just frivolous. We're not to refer to God in these types of casual, empty, and careless ways. That's what the Bible's telling us. That's what it's saying when it's using that word. To do so diminishes who He is. It shadows the true character of God. Any use of God's name that is trivial and serves no worthwhile purpose is an affront to Yahweh. He's majestic, He's awesome, He's kingly. He's our supreme creator God, and any reference to Him should be made with the utmost honor and glory. Hello, Benny.
Hi.
This is the command. We understand this because that's what Shav means. S-H-A-V is the word translated into the word vain. The Bible tells us that providing us the meaning of the word by using it in the context of these scriptures, we can know this. It means empty and useless and the like. So just because we read the words, "Don't take the name of the Lord your God in vain," we got to remember that it says Shav. So don't take the name of the Lord your God lightly. Don't take it frivolously. Don't use it in an empty or useless manner. He says, honor my name. He says, only use it in the highest of regard. Bring honor and glory to me. Okay? In Ephesians, it says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Okay? We need to be cognizant of how we're referring to God. Let nothing corrupt, including useless, frivolous, idle references to God, come from us. Instead, any reference to God should be for edification, that it might bring glory and honor to God. Our speech should consist of neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. Don't use the name of God or refer to God in this way. He's not empty, useless, or worthless, is He? No. His name's not to be used that way either, not to be idly thrown out there. So don't take the name of the Lord your God idly. And we need to help each other with this, because I'm sitting there studying this and looking at all these words, and I'm thinking about my speech and how I, you know, say things and use phrases and stuff just without even thinking about it. So we need to help each other and bring these things to light as we see each other doing it, because we're doing it and not even realizing it. So that's our second point. Don't use God's name in a careless or frivolous manner. Now, our third point today is not to use God's name to make a false oath or make a false representation of God. Remember the verses we looked at where Shav was translated false and falsehood? This tells us that we're not to take the name of the Lord our God with falsehood or in a false or deceptive way. That's a huge no-no. When we invoke the name of God or refer to Yahweh or God in an oath, you had better make sure it's right. It's a serious matter to Yahweh when you use Him to back up whatever you're saying. When we say things like, well, I swear on a stack of Bibles. Well, whose name's in that Bible? Or, as God is my witness, you know, you'll hear people say. And other things that invoke the name and reputation of God to whatever we're trying to assert, we better be careful. You'll be held account for that. So I'd suggest just not doing it, you know, period. You know, that way you're not, you know, bordering on messing up. But if you must call on God to back you up, man, make double, triple certain that it's right. And that it's that important, you know. I would say, hey, you know, if you had said something like, well, as God is my witness, I know that guy threw that ball 100 yards. Well, maybe he did. And maybe you're that sure. But is it that important to risk, you know, invoking the name of God, you know, to make that assertion? Now, you know, I don't know. Now, if you're innocent and you need to swear by God's name that you didn't shoot the sheriff or even the deputy, right? Well, maybe that's something you need to do. But it better be important, because the Bible says that God will not hold the man guiltless that takes his name in vain. And I would say, too, that, you know, I thought about all these politicians that go up there and swear on the Bible to uphold the Constitution and just lie their pants off. Oaths, when taken in the name of God, are supposed to mean something. And today, many times, they don't. You know, I can tell you that it doesn't go unnoticed. What's the matter? You know, what's it doing?
Showing us.
Something weird.
Showing us exactly what you're going to
say. Showing a guy lying to us.
Yeah, we're just checking.
Is the yes is not yes? And
well, I don't know how to. I don't know how to fix that.
Going backwards, baby.
Earrings on. Huh? Maybe pause what?
You're recording.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Cut.
No, I don't, because then I have to piece it back together, so just hang on a second.
Jesus says to not take an oath at all.
There you go.
There we go. Right. Yeah. He does. He said, just don't do it at all. I think about people that go on the stand in court after having sworn on a Bible and then lie. And then, you know, you think about lawyers. You know, they'll go in there and they'll twist the truth. And when they go into a court case, are they really trying to get the truth or are they just trying to win? But you know, every lawyer, when they pass the bar and they're given a license to practice in a certain state, they have that whole swearing in process occurs for a lawyer, and it covers his whole time he's ever in court. He doesn't have to do it each time. He did it once, and every time he's in there, you know, lying his butt off in order to not get the truth, he's going against an oath that he swore on a Bible. Another biggie in this context is making false representations of God. And you know, that's why I take this teaching very seriously. But I've got news for you guys. You're all teachers, every one of you. I mean, maybe you don't stand up here, but you're called out and chosen of Yahweh, and you are teaching every day in the way that you walk out your life. And the way you interface with people. You are a representative of the kingdom of God. Are you representing with falsehood? You need to be careful and make sure that how we represent who and what God is as He has revealed Himself to be. No more and no less. You know, guys, truth matters. That's why we've been on this journey that we've been on. Because it matters. We are not to represent God falsely. You know, it's important that we do our best to get His name right, to get his law right, to get His history right, to get who He is right, to get His doctrine right. Because we're not to represent Him in a false manner. We don't take the name or use the name in falsehood, in deceit. We're not to try and remake Yahweh into who we want Him to be. We are to conform to what He wants us to be, not the other way around. Okay? We're to represent Him as He is, whether it's popular or not. So don't make your representation of Him in vain with falsehoods, with a lying tongue. Why is this thing doing this? It keeps going blank on me, and then it... I don't know why. I hadn't done it before. Anyway,
solar flares.
That's point number three. Don't use God's name to make a false oath or make a false representation of God. So now we're down to point number four. And I put this one last, because although these other three are valid and important, they're generally the most understood. It's generally what people think of when they think of not taking the Lord's name in vain. Because they all really deal with what comes out of our mouths. You know, that's kind of, you know, when you say, don't take the Lord's name in vain, everybody put their hand up and said, yeah, it has to do with how I speak and how, cussing and all of that kind of thing. And it's true, it is. But what I'm about to show you is that these three points are valid because they exist within the subtext, the subcontext of what this commandment is really saying in its overarching nature, okay? Because when we look at all the meanings of the words, we did that. We looked, you know, I sat and I just thought about, wow, what's all of that mean? When you put all of that together, what's Yahweh trying to say? And then putting that in context, you know, meditating on that about the flow of his law and what He's talking about. He reveals Himself to us. And then, you know, He says, you know, don't put anything before Me. And then don't have any idols. And then here He gets and He says, and don't take My name in vain. And these other things are so huge. And then it can't be just, you know, don't cuss or don't say things. He's saying more than that. He's structuring how we are to think about Him, how we're to interact with Him. And the shaping of the two big things within the law, how to have a relationship with Yahweh and how to have a relationship with other people. That's the two big things within the law, okay? So when we look at all this, and even the very definition of the word vain in the English language, number four becomes pretty clear. And once again, it points us directly at obedience. Don't take the name of the Lord your God and make it empty and futile by not obeying Him. This is huge and greatly ignored. And I know it seems like we keep circling back to the same thing. But that's what the Bible does. It keeps circling back to the same thing. You know, I'm not doing it. I'm just reading it. Okay? In Leviticus 22, Yahweh said this. He said, "Therefore, you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I'm the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name. But I will be hallowed. Hallowed among the children of Israel. I am the God who sanctifies you." Come on now. Yahweh's preaching to you. Look what he says. Commandment number 3 is all about how his name is to be used. Used. Not just spoken. But how it's represented. He teaches us clearly here that to profane his holy name is not to keep his commandments. He says, "You shall not profane my holy name, but you shall keep my commandments and perform them. And then I will be hallowed among the children of Israel." Hallowed means to treat with significance. To take something in vain, we've seen, means to treat with worthlessness, uselessness, and emptiness. To treat with significance, to hallow it, is the exact opposite of taking it in vain. To profane it. You see it? To hallow him, to treat with significance, is to keep his commandments. To take in vain and profane his name is not to obey him. To not take him seriously. To make what he says worthless and empty because you're not doing it. This is precisely what this command means. And when you put that in context with the flow of how he's of his discourse of his law, it makes even more sense. We are not to take on the name of God and do it with vain emptiness and uselessness, but we're to hallow the name. We're to treat it with significance and do what we're told. How can we say that we hallow God and then ignore what he says? That's not hallowing him. That's not treating him with significance. That's why Yeshua said not to call him Lord, Lord, and not do what he says to do. This next verse you've seen before, but see how clear it is in this context. He says, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." And he said to them, "All too well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your tradition." The worship here, look at it. The worship that they're worshiping him. And they're doing it in vain. In other words, because the way they are worshiping is according to the traditions of men rather than the commandments of Yahweh, their worship is in vain. Don't take his name in vain. Which we've learned is useless, worthless, and empty. Remember one of the definitions of vain that we looked at. Remember, it was also to no end, marked by futility or ineffectualness, not yielding the desired outcome. Did they get the desired outcome? It says, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." They're not getting the desired outcome. We're going to see that in a moment. Our worship of God, our taking of his name and calling ourselves his, is not to be done in vain. It is to be done according to his instructions, and we're to follow them in order to get the desired outcome. By using the traditions of men in place of the commandments of Yahweh, the people violated the law of God. And that's why Yeshua asked them, "Why are you calling me Lord? Why are you calling me Lord and not do the things I say? They used the name of God, but they refused to obey Yahweh's commandments. And that is a violation of the third commandment because it is a misuse of his name. In Matthew 7, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Cast out demons in your name? Done many wonders in your name? What have they done? They've taken the name of God. He said, don't take the name, my name, in vain. They've taken the name of God. Did they do it in vain? Yeah. Next verse. And then I'll declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. They took the name in vain because they practiced lawlessness. All they did was in vain because they did not get the desired result. Remember the definition. Did they get the desired result that they wanted? No. They did all this stuff in his name, but then he came back and said, I never even knew you. Get depart from me. What they did was empty. They were unsuccessful. Why? Because they didn't follow the program. They didn't hallow the name enough to obey him. They would have had the law to guide them if they would have obeyed, but instead they had lawlessness. Yeshua said, if you love me, keep my commandments. To say, if you love me, is just another way to say, if you hallow me. If you hold me in the highest esteem, then you'll honor me not just with your lips, but you'll do what I say. And you'll have my name, and it won't be in vain. It won't be for no end. It will be for the end in which it's intended. You'll keep my commandments. Paul wrote this. He said to Titus, they profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified for every good work. The Apostle John weighs in, and he said it this way. In 1 John, he said, he who says, I know him, takes his name, says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar. Truth isn't in him. So one who uses God's name and doesn't obey him not only violates the third commandment, it violates the ninth one too, because he's a liar. We simply are not to take on the name of God upon ourselves in vain. Here's an analogy, okay? This is just the thing I could think of as far as taking the name. It's like a young lady that gets married, okay? She stands at the altar and she's asked, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband? Yes, she says. And then what she do? She takes his name. Now, just as each one of us in the church, as the bride of the Messiah, so you men, you get to be a bride. It's not just the girls I'm talking about. The bride of the Messiah, when you accept that sacrifice of Yeshua, we become married and become what? Part of the family of God. A family has a name. We take the name of God in that relationship, in this covenant that we have engaged in, people, that we looked at such great depth that I will write my law on their hearts and I will be their God and they will be my people. That is a covenant, and it's a mirror of the marriage covenant. And we become part of the family of God. And we take the name. We're not to do that in vain. Just as the young woman in this example ceases to be single, she changes to a married woman. She ceases to do the things of a single woman. She becomes, in essence, a new creation. Does that sound kind of familiar to baptism? It's because the Bible just explains the same thing over and over and over again to try to get it through our thick skull. You know? She now is to behave like a married woman. She acts according to the marriage covenant. She walks that out. She keeps the law, so to speak, of the marriage covenant. That's how it's done right. Now think about it. If she got married, and then she took her husband's name, and then she just continued to act like a single person, and didn't engage in any of the of her responsibilities as a spouse, she'd be taking on that name in vain. Why? Because the marriage would be useless, worthless, void of its intended benefit, and unsuccessful. All of those things that we looked at. See, Timothy said it this way. He said, "Let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity." The Bible just continues to confirm things by saying them in a different way. Paul said it like this. He said, "You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through breaking the law? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you." The name of God is blasphemed. How? Because it was taken in vain. Because they steal, commit adultery, and dishonor God through breaking of the law. It's merely saying the same thing that Yahweh said earlier when we looked at it in Leviticus 22. "Therefore you shall keep my commandments and perform them. I'm the Lord. You shall not profane my holy name." This is Yahweh speaking. I want to be hallowed among the children of Israel. Don't profane his name by taking it without obedience. Honor the name when you take it, with not only your mouth, but your hands, your feet, your actions, your obedience to his law. Keep the commands and perform them. We can't take the name, marry into the family, and doing it in vain by continuing to act as we did before. Or to put it more strongly, like a pagan heathen person to whom there's been no revelation. You see, you know better. You're married, so to speak. And the obligations under that marriage covenant have been revealed to you. You're his. You belong to him. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, "For you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's." You're his. You should glorify him, hallow his name, and don't profane it with your disobedience. Don't take his name in vain. That's what it means. When we fully understand what Yahweh is saying in his command, we'll understand we've taken his name. We're heir. Another way the Bible puts it is we're heirs according to the promise. Joint heirs with Yeshua. That's again referring to a family and having taken the family name. And so we're to hallow that name. We're not to profane it with disobedience. And you see, that's why I said that those first three were subtexts of this. Because when you understand that you're to hallow his name and come under obedience to him, and that that's your name. Do you cuss with your own name? No, you don't, do you?
Make more sense.
You might as well, because you're hurting, you're only hurting yourself. But, you know, we're to hallow it. We're not to profane it. We're to use the name in the highest of regard and represent the name. Represent that we use the name in our speech and we represent the name in our behavior, in our keeping of the law, the very best that we can. We're not perfect. But we're to glorify him, as this said, in our body and our spirit. Okay? So, that's it. In summary, the first one was, don't use the name of God or refer to him by cussing or trying to damn someone. You know, we fail to hallow the name of God and therefore use it in vain when we abuse it in our speech. The name of God or a reference to God should only be used in context of the highest of esteem and never in a manner that has any sort of derogatory context to it. We take his name in vain when we make frivolous vows. We, of course, take his name in vain when we make a vow by anything other than him, for when we do this, we are setting up something else as the standard of truth. See, we shouldn't, you know, use something else as a standard for a vow, because then we're putting that above God. That's why Yeshua said to us, hey, let your yes be yes, let your no be no. You don't need all that extra foolishness, right? God's the only standard of truth and the only one that can bear witness to the veracity of someone's heart. Okay, you can't see in their heart. Don't use God's name to make a false oath or make a false representation of God. As we take the name and Lord in vain whenever we abuse it by making a vow that's false, or when we do this by calling the God of truth to witness to a lie. When we use him to witness to a lie, are we hallowing his name? Heavens no. Okay? Because that's definitely something that's useless, empty, void, and worthless. It's a lie. And then lastly, we don't take the name of the Lord your God and make it empty and futile by not obeying him. And I hope you can see now how all of the above and many more would fit into the overarching context and meaning of what God is telling us here. That we don't take the name of God and do with it anything except to attempt to glorify him and bring honor to him and the family name. Okay? We do that through obedience. The Bible's very clear. Yeshua was very clear that we show our love for Yeshua through our obedience. And that is the difference. We accept the fact that we are never, and I'll keep saying this because this brought us to the whole obedience thing again, but we do not earn salvation with obedience. God showed his love for us while we were yet sinners. He sent his Son to die for us, to pay the penalty of that sin. He is the first one that steps up to bat and says, I love you. The greatest act of love that has ever been shown on the face of this earth was done by Yeshua on the stake, dying a horrible death for our behalf. And we are saved by faith in the power of that death, burial, and resurrection. And he has extended his love to us in a mighty and powerful way. What is our response? Our response is to hallow his name. Our response is to bring honor and glory to him. Our response, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. We don't keep commandment number 3 to earn salvation. We don't keep commandment number 1, 2, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, or 10 to earn salvation. But it is still important for us to be able to respond to Yeshua, to respond to Yahweh with the same kind of love that he showed to us. And we accepted, when we accepted that marriage covenant, so to speak, that's what we agreed to do. We've seen that, right? Through all of our study. We lift up the family name, not by dishonoring it with sin, but by keeping the law. It's this mindset that would mean we would never speak the name inappropriately. If you've got that mindset, you'd never make a false oath. You wouldn't speak it to damn somebody. Anytime we use his name in derision, or whenever we insult or profane his name through irreverence in our manner of speech, we are treating his name as if it doesn't mean anything. And certainly, we treat the name with disrespect and dishonor when we profess his name but disobey his commandments. Those that name the name of Yahweh or Yeshua but do not depart from a life of iniquity name it in vain, in direct violation of this commandment. And their worship, therefore, as Yeshua said, is in vain. It's a great crime when we worship God only with our mouths and not our hearts, when we make false promises, when we profess the name of the Messiah but still harbor iniquity in our hearts, when we use God's name lightly or for swearing. And God doesn't hold us guiltless. He's so serious about this crime that Yahweh says that he himself will be the avenger of those that do it. They will find it a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Let's be thankful that Yeshua, our elder brother and high priest, has sent us the Holy Spirit, through and by which we can have the help, the support, and guidance to strive to obey the law and bring glory and honor to our great God as he so deserves. So hallow his name. Use the name in your speech and represent it with your actions in the highest regard and fashion. And don't take it upon yourself in vain. All right? Amen? Amen?